The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
It's Friday, so we got to talk about, you know, how we're going to enjoy the weekend. Have you considered having sake over the weekend? Well, it's a Japanese alcoholic beverage made from rice. Very often we forget this. But according to research, the Asia-Pacific Japanese sake market, get this, was valued at about 2.5 million last year. It also said that the Asia-Pacific Japanese sake market will be receiving an opportunity of over 223 million between this year and the year 2024. Now, if you zoom in specifically here in Singapore, there's a brand called Sake To Go. It's a local company that delivers imported sake to customers via Deliveroo. So we have with us in the studio to tell us more about the business aspects of our local sake market. And she also happens to be a certified sake expert here in Singapore. Ayumi Fujishiro, founder and sake lecturer at Sake To Go. Ayumi, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
A sake expert. I mean, this has to be the best job in the world. I know you're a sake lecturer as well. But if I were to put you on the spot right now and ask you, how much sake can you drink in one serving? Say, over lunch.
Most I ever drank is 1.8 liter bottle.
What? 1.8
yeah,
liters.
But it's really long night.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, that's really the way to enjoy sake. It's not so much drink to get drunk kind of thing. It's part of a conversation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you become a sake lecturer, and how does it feel to be only one of two sake lecturers here in Singapore?
Okay, so the most important things to become sake lecturer is you must drink a lot. Yeah, I mean, of course for fun, but not only for fun, because we have to try a lot of types of sake.
Yeah, you're tasting it, right?
Yeah, to see the differences and everything. So I privately drink a lot of sake, but as a lecturer or sommelier, I drink and then split out. Just to taste it, although it's waste, but you know, this is the expert way to check the quality. Yeah. So once I have enough experience to see what is the differences, I have to pass two exams. One is as a sommelier, and then 3 years later, I can take the exam for lecturer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is actually like one level higher than a sommelier.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. What's it like? I mean, you're a Japanese lady. You're here in Singapore. Yep. You're running a local business in Singapore. Mm-hmm. Have you encountered any challenges that you could share with us?
Okay. I have many things to talk about it.
Sure.
As for the business-wise, the manpower is the biggest issue in Singapore. Mm. Most of the employee we had is very, very nice people. But some of them, the first day, they don't show up. And then come a few days later, suddenly, you know, their family got sick lah.
Okay.
They are sick lah. Don't know, someone like happened, something happened. So,
okay.
Like the manpower, quality of the manpower.
Quality
is
manpower,
it's a very big issue. Because I also, you know, to prove this one, I also checked the news saying that Singapore, to the person who is seeking the job, 30% is lying something.
Oh yeah, we covered this recently, that there were some discrepancies in their resumes. And if you're saying that they are lying, then what is the expectation of someone who wanted to work for you? Must they be a specialist in sake like you?
Oh, actually, because I'm lecturer, so they don't have to be specialists.
Sure.
As long as they have passion, I'm very fine to, you know, teach them. So that, you know, don't lie is the very important thing.
So you have encountered these situations. How do you maintain the quality of Sake To Go's products? What is your process in making sure that this is the best product?
Okay, most of the time, I visit the brewery. If I cannot, then I will get the samples. And then sometimes people say premium sake, right? And then actually in all over the world, premium sake consumption is around half, 50%.
Okay.
So other 50 is non-premium. So I definitely find the premium sake. And then from there, mostly is I try to find a Singaporean taste, like Singaporean's favorite taste, so that, you know, they can easily enjoy sake more.
Okay, if you're talking about Singaporeans' preferred taste, then from a business point of view, what is your target audience? What kind of age group are you looking at?
Okay, of course, the age group must be 18 and above.
Of course.
Yeah.
If you could paint the picture of a typical, you know, Singaporean you're going after.
Mostly is N20s.
Sure.
And then 30s, I think less 50s and then 60s.
So yeah. more of the younger age group between late 20s and early 30s.
I feel so.
Interesting. Ayumi Fujishiro, founder and sake lecturer at Sake To Go, in the studio with me. You, Sake To Go, sources from 10 different prefectures in Japan.
Yeah.
How do you select these prefectures, or what's it like in terms of this supply process?
Okay, actually Japan has 47 prefectures.
Yeah.
So maybe you hear 10 only is a little bit, you know, lesser. But actually, we had deal with over 30 prefectures before.
Okay.
So, you know, not all sake can be sellable in Singapore, unfortunately.
Sure.
So now maybe 50% is already very sellable. Another 50% is I'm trying to see how the feedback from the customers.
When you say it's not sellable in Singapore, is it some regulation, or really is because it doesn't suit the Singaporeans' taste so far?
Actually, it's very suitable,
sure.
But usually Singaporean likes to drink sake after the meal.
So it's a different type of sake that
yes.
they're not culturally used to in that sense. Mm-hmm.
So that's why if they know how to, you know, enjoy sake during their meal, the result is actually totally different. So that's why I try to do more food pairing events.
Right. Okay. Mm. Talking about the business aspects of sake, it's beyond just, you know, having a sake for the sake of potential business, but really there's a lot of money to be made in this. In fact, according to a report, Asia Pacific Japanese sake markets will be receiving an opportunity of over 223 million between this year and the year 2024. So I'm sure you're looking at these numbers, Ayumi, going, this is going to be great for Sake To Go.
Yeah, it is.
What is your outlook? What are you looking forward to?
Actually, this figure, right, I think the figure should be based on retail price, maybe.
Sure.
Because the export amount, the total amount of the export last year is 277 million, which is kind of exactly the same. So actually, the figure is, if we, Japanese here is a lot, it's because it's totally same as
quite a bit, yes.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. But maybe, you know, it's also good that through sake someone can, you know, earn profit.
Sure.
And then because I believe that whoever drinks sake, they love the taste. We earn money, but at the same time, we can make someone happy.
Sure.
As long as they don't drink too much.
Sure, of course. Let's talk about the social role of sake and how it's changed over time. I know in the past, you would associate it. It's like whiskey, right? People used to think it's an old man's drink.
Yeah.
But now, and you mentioned this earlier on, that most of your customers are in the age range of late 20s to early 30s. What does this mean in terms of companies? You know, do you see them changing their advertising approach to target more so-called youngsters?
Yeah, exactly. Of course, the labeling and then the color of the bottle is more like a pop or like a modern. And then as for the taste-wise, they try not to make too strong sake. And then like sometimes, you know, they even mix with fruits.
That or they have the fun. Okay.
And then also they have the sparkling sake.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the labeling a little bit and its evolution. You mentioned pop colors, but I seem to remember it's usually in a bottle that looks like it's a wood bottle, right? And that's evolved now. We're seeing more like colorful bottles.
Okay. The reason why traditional, I mean, not so traditional, but
so-called traditional
bottle is, you know, just dark color, just write the name or what, is because to try to protect the quality. For example, to keep sake better quality, they have to cut the sunlight, or they shouldn't get any lighting.
Sure.
So that's why the bottle of the color must be darker. But now, you know, also consumers and then retailer or everyone knows that how to maintain the quality.
Sure.
So even though they have green color or transparent color, they know how to keep the quality.
Some people keep it in a fridge. Some people keep it in a dark cabinet. You know, it works either way, right? Because you can also heat up sake. There are many ways to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Let's talk back about Japan. A very famous singer-songwriter, Ed Sheeran, of course, collaborated with a sake brewery to release a limited edition Ed Sheeran sake. The idea was to appeal to a younger audience. Now, for you at Sake To Go, do you have any plans for collaborations with perhaps local artists or designers or whatnot to drive sales? Do you think this sort of influencer mindset would help?
Actually, this is very good idea to collaborate with local artists. So, you know, if anyone listening here now, you can find me to, you know, some collaboration.
Yeah.
But interesting thing is recently one of the voice actress in Japan, she collaborated with a sake brewery to make the flower sake, which was very, very sellable. So, you know, Singapore is famous for orchid, right?
Sure.
So it's, you know, it's good to collaborate with Singapore to have like orchid sake or whatever. Because yes, sake is more for fun, but also can expand the culture.
Let's talk about the Singaporeans' taste bud. Mm-hmm. What kind of typical sake do you see Singaporeans particularly enjoy? What's like the best seller in that sense?
Okay, whatever I say, Jumai Daiginjo, they love it.
All right.
Because this long name, I mean a category, they think that it's the best quality of sake.
Okay.
Which is smooth taste, and then like a very light, flowerish or fruity. Actually, yes, if you just drink sake only, I can recommend it. But I hope that, you know, more drinker will understand that that one will not go well with, like, let's say, Wagyu beef or what, because it's too light.
For sure. Yeah. And that's why you have these pairing sessions as well, right?
Yes.
Do you see, and finally, do you have an outlook of the sake market here in Singapore? Because I think about years ago, it was, you know, traditionally people think, oh, wine's got a great market.
Mm-hmm.
And then in recent years, we've seen whiskey have a bit of an emergence.
Yeah.
Where does sake rank? Do you think it'll get to that same level?
Actually, I personally think, because sake is made by rice, so it can go well with anything. Like, of course, meat and fish, but not only salty thing. Spicy also okay. You know, soury also no problem. And then sweets also no problems at all. So hopefully, you know, sake can be like wine. So that's why our company is trying to collaborate with local restaurants, not only Japanese food.
Once you understand, you know, how to drink sake, it's easy to pair it and you'll obviously have more of it, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Ayumi Fujishiro, founder and sake lecturer at Sake to Go, in the studio with me. Ayumi, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.